We now bring to these microphones David James. It's that time of the week when David and I get together to have a conversation on an issue that is confronting the body of Christ, the church, the Christian in those churches. We need to have a biblical understanding of the issues we discuss. This will help us in our daily walk. This week, we're going to focus on worldwide persecution of Christians. David, a number of weeks ago, we had a conversation focusing on some of the intense persecution that is being faced by Christians around the world. I would say there isn't enough attention, actually, that is being given to this issue, so I thought we should return to the topic from time to time to keep our listeners aware of what's happening. Help us do that, David.
Sure. Well, I agree with you 100%, and I have to admit, in previous years, maybe I hadn't focused on it enough either, but what I'm seeing as we even keep watch for our research for our weekly conversations, I'm seeing more and more stories. So this is an intensification of persecution around the world. And just to give our listeners just a couple of resources that they might follow up on if they're interested in following this personally, they can go to the Open Doors USA website or the Voice of the Martyrs. And then there's another one called International Christian Concern, which is at persecution.org. So there are these and other websites, as well as Christian news headlines websites that keep track of these things, and we've been relying on those in our discussions as well.
And these different items that you have just mentioned have been very, very helpful for us to stay on top of what's going on. Again, another reason for the discussion this week. Now, you sent me several of those articles about what the situation is in a number of different countries. The first thing I would like to discuss with you is what is happening in China. Things are clearly getting progressively worse under China's current president.
You're exactly right. This president and his administration have been intensifying their persecution. Just an article that came out this past week, the head of the National Committee of the Three Self-Patriotic Movement of the Protestant Churches in China says there are problems with Christianity in the country. So they see this as a national Christian identity problem. The Xinhua news agency said that their people often say, one more Christian, one less Chinese. So they see this as a Western movement. And so they're rejecting that. The government must approve any Christian churches in China, and religious activities are strictly monitored. Chinese authorities passed on a bill to one of their pastors for around $170,000 after they demolished his church building and then charged him for the demolition. And then back in January of last year, the Chinese government sent in police officers to dynamite and use heavy machinery to tear down a building where more than 50,000 Christians worship. So this is a very serious issue in China.
Now, David, we're obviously not here to defend Islam in any way, shape, or form. But there was another recent article that you sent along concerning China's Muslim minority and the way that they are being treated. Actually, when we think about it, it could happen to Christians sooner or later.
You're right, and that's one of the reasons why this article caught my attention. Just, again, a couple of days ago, the U.S. State Department slammed the human rights violations in China, saying the sort of abuses it had inflicted on Muslim minorities had not been seen in the world since the 1930s, apparently referring to Nazi and pre-Nazi Germany. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo highlighted abuses in Iran, South Sudan, Nicaragua, and China in the department's annual country reports on human rights, and he said that China was in a league of its own. So if it's in a league of its own compared to these other countries, that is a very serious issue. They've been rounding up, in some estimations, millions of Muslims, putting them into camps, torturing them and abusing them, and trying to basically erase their culture and their religion. And it's among the most serious human rights violations in the world today. So if they're willing to do that for one religion, then they would certainly be willing to do that for all religions. The good news is that there is a very strong underground church movement in China, and there could well be more Christians in absolute numbers by 2030 than any other nation in the world.
David, another serious problem area is India, whose population really is as large as China. but which has a much lower population of Christians.
I've been to India a number of times and taught there in a seminary in South Central India, south of Bangalore. And so I've been keeping my finger on the pulse of what has been happening there. The website Open Doors, which I mentioned earlier, said that in 2018, more than 12,000 Christians were attacked. And of course, incidents of violence against Christians have occurred in nearly all parts of India, but until recently, it's been largely confined to the north, central, and western India. But in June of last year, there were five Christian women who were beaten and abducted and gang raped in eastern India. And then down in southeastern India, the very tip of the country, which is where there has not been nearly as much violence, there were churches are now being attacked by Hindu extremists, forcing them out of places of worship in this province as well. The body of a pastor there in January of last year was found hung from his roof. And interestingly, this state, this province, is right next to the most Christian province in the country, Kerala State, where so many Christians, even at the seminary where I teach, travel up to, and even the president of that seminary is from Kerala State. So it's right next door, which means it's spreading all over India.
Therefore, I conclude from your report about China and India that in China, the state is the persecutor. However, in India, it's the increasingly radical Hindus that are really causing all the problems against Christians. But in more and more countries, as I've watched this across the world, David, and in particular, let's focus a moment on Africa, the aggressors are increasingly radical Muslims.
That's right. So you have in China the Muslims that are being radically persecuted, tortured, and killed, whereas they're the ones doing it in portions of Africa. You might expect this in northern Africa, but Islam is spreading throughout the country. Just last year in May, 10 were killed as a Christian college was attacked in South Sudan, which is the country directly north of Uganda, where I teach every year. In fact, this year I'll be there three times, teaching with both Word of Life and a seminary. In February of this year, at least 40 Christians were killed in two attacks in Kaduna State in Nigeria. Just reported that the first of this month, Muslim mobs attacked 10 church buildings in Ethiopia, and that attack lasted about 5 hours, and it was against these 10 churches where more than almost 10,000 worshipers are estimated to attend those churches. There was a huge amount of property destroyed, including Bible, songbooks, instruments, benches, and chairs. And then just as recently as 2 days ago, it was reported that there was a Boko Haram attack against a Christian village in which they destroyed a church as well as burned down 6 homes. So it's an increasing problem worldwide on every continent, and maybe not in North America in terms of burning down buildings and things like that, but there are increasing problems around the world.
You know, as I see it, David, these countries that are known for radical ideologies are not the only places where Christians are facing growing persecution. In fact, it's happening more and more in places that have largely been considered Christian in the past.
That's true. This would be true of both Europe and Canada, and I would say even the United States is beginning to experience some of this. And to be honest, as I've watched this, I think part of it has to do with the increasing Muslim influence around the world, that they're having a great influence on governments, and especially as they are moving into positions and being elected to positions in various levels of government from the local to the national level. For example, just at the end of last month, there was a street preacher arrested by police in the London area, and he was called a racist for preaching about salvation. And as the second officer arrived on the scene, they arrested him, stripped the Bible from his hand, and he kindly asked if he could have his Bible back. And the officer said, "You should have thought about that before you decided to be racist." In another article coming out of Canada, Canada became one of the first countries in the world to recognize same-sex marriage, and originally the it looked like they were going to be tolerant, but now the article says it's not premature to speak of open discrimination against Christians in Canada. And in fact, this very specifically came into focus, this extreme tolerance, when Trinity Western University, which is the largest privately funded evangelical Christian university in all of Canada, they wanted to set out to establish a law school, and it was approved by British Columbia's Ministry of Education. But then three other provinces of Canada came into play, and they blocked the move, and the law societies of these three provinces, which included Ontario, voted to deny accreditation to the law school. So this is open persecution, and we've seen it here in this country, not necessarily in the same forms yet, but I think it's coming with the photographers and the bakers and various Christian business owners who are being denied free speech rights and things like this. So things are developing, and they're moving this way.
David, as we wrap up our discussion, there's a final point that I wanted to discuss with you. Some prophecy teachers argue that the persecution of Christians throughout history is evidence that the church will not escape future persecution through a pre-tribulational rapture. How would you respond to that thought?
Well, I run into that argument quite frequently, both from those who hold to a pre-wrath rapture and especially those who would hold to a post-tribulational rapture. And I would say it's very misguided in understanding what is going to happen during Daniel's 70th week, the time that we call the tribulation period. What we understand is going on in the world and has happened throughout history is satanic opposition against God's people. It's happened in every century since the church came into being. The first century was no exception, but what we need to understand is there's a difference between this persecution at the hands of men who are being, I would say, satanically inspired in many cases, and what happens during the tribulation period. The tribulation is the wrath of God, not the wrath of man or the wrath of Satan, even though God may use Satan to carry out some of his judgments against the world. And we are promised that the church will not be subjected to the wrath of God, even though Christ said that in this world you will have tribulation. That kind of tribulation is different from the wrath of God and what we typically call the tribulation period. The church will be spared from that and raptured to be in the presence of the Lord as those judgments are carried out on the earth.
And I would have to say a hallelujah, amen, and everything else I could think of. That is a wonderful, wonderful thought that we will escape all of the wrath of God to come. Praise the Lord for that. David, a very important discussion that I believe we should have had, and we did have it today, and we need to focus on this issue in the future as well. So help me to remember to do that. It's key for the body of Christ. Thank you so much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
I'll look forward to it as always, Jimmy. Thanks so much.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to take a look at the book. Keep the dial set. We'll find out what God's Word has to say about current events. And that's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.